Welcome to Manager Tools.
This is Kate.
And this is Sarah.
Today's cast, Building Your Bench, part one of two.
The questions this cast answers are, how can I speed up my hiring process? How can I improve the quality of the candidates I see? And where should I look for new hires?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
We're coming to Chicago. July 8th through 10th, we will be in Chicago. We're hosting an EHM, EMC, and ECC event, which includes effective hiring, management, and communications trainings. If you're in the area or just in the Midwest, it's an opportunity to learn the next steps to being a more effective professional, better hiring, management, and communication. And you can meet some other professionals from the area. We love coming to Chicago, and we'd really love to see you there too. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Too many managers rely on human resources to bring them candidates for their hiring needs. It seems like we're kind of on an HR kick lately. And we're talking more today about human resources and their impact on the organization, their support function of you. HR is a necessary part of sourcing candidates, and it's important to work with them. But there's often a disconnect because they don't know your work needs nearly as well as you do. And effective managers build a bench of possible candidates so that they can hire from their own bench, that is, people that they already know, not just relying on the candidates who applied, whenever they can.
I love to do podcasts about hiring and interviewing. And this one is exciting, partially, I think, because it helps people understand why it's important to have, like, kind of a group of people that you think about when it's time to hire. And we've all been through it. You get the authority to hire, you wait for HR to send the resumes so you can scan them and shift through the paper. It's such a standard process that new managers often just assume that this is how it's done. And maybe that means to you that you're not allowed to do it differently. It even might be, in your experience, such a standard thing that far too many new managers end up learning an incorrect principle from it, which is that HR is in charge of hiring. But that's not accurate. You, the manager, are always in charge of hiring because hiring is the single most strategic contribution each manager makes to their organization. And we say that, y'all, because the people you hire, if you do it well, because we talk as managers about your goals being results and retention, the goal then is to retain the people that you hire, not necessarily on your team, but in the organization. And if you do that well, there's a chance you hire someone who is there for 5 years, for 10 years. There's a solid chance you hire somebody who outlasts you at the organization. Every hire that you make or don't make changes the economics of the organization to an extent. And since most companies in the United States are smaller than 100 people, it's a big financial change for a small company, right? All the hiring decisions you make, again, affect the economics of the organization in big or small ways, depending on how the size of your company. Additionally, it affects the future of the company. Each person you bring in is going to make a different series of decisions. You are bringing in people who will decide what the future of the company looks like, especially if their tenure is long. There's no way around the fact that hiring changes how the organization is run, but it's a little more subtle than that, right? It's not just how it's run, it's how things get done every day, which cumulatively over time account for how things do run. Not our run, but do run, right? In the company.
Yeah.
You know, when you're thinking about tactical stuff, y'all, every single day, we're talking about results, we're talking about retention. There's tactical things you have to be doing. It's always been baffling to me that people act as if they don't have time for hiring when, if you think about it, the number of hours this person will spend in the job is massive, huge. And the number of hours you're going to have to spend with someone you hire is huge. And when we're interviewing and stuff, people say things like, oh, I don't have time for that. So you don't have 4 hours this week or 10 hours this week, however many hours you need to ensure that the next 5 years of your life, you get to spend 8 hours a day with someone who's good to work with.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's what you're saying. You're saying, oh, I don't have 4 hours this week. And it puts you in a very precarious situation. And that situation is you're not paying attention to whether or not you're going to spend the next, oh my gosh, millions of hours with a person that you think will be good to spend that time with. That's what you're saying. You're saying, I don't have 4 hours to assess whether or not I want to spend the next 5 years with this person. Honestly, people spend more time on dates. That's a terrible analogy. And it's true.
It's true. And you're also living with that person forever too. So you want that decision to be a good one if you decide to marry them.
That's the hope.
Exactly.
Honestly, terrible analogy. Okay.
Terrible analogy. Okay. So hiring is, we say oftentimes, because we teach a lot of management principles as well. If you want to make your managing life easier, hire better. It's the single best, fastest, easiest way to make being a manager easier on yourself. And hiring is just like management in an organization. All the things they didn't teach you, which means that as a newbie, a new manager to an organization or a person within an organization becoming a new manager, you fall into the trap of thinking that HR is just responsible for some stuff. And when they take charge of stuff, you follow them. And our guidance today is about how not to follow them, rather how to take responsibility for a process that is, in fact, your own.
It's even worse, right? The idea of, okay, becoming a manager, they don't teach you that stuff. And hiring, they don't teach you that stuff. It's worse with hiring because when you're a manager, some part of your job is still the same from before. Like going from individual contributor to manager, you're still so responsible for results. And so you have this kind of retained part of your job that even though the tasking might change, your purpose day in, day out, the core of it still exists. That's true when you go from individual contributor to manager. When you go though from, like when you start to hire people, you have so much less context for the process. Being a candidate, it's not like, you know, 60% of your job is the same, individual contributor to manager. Okay, 5% of it is the same going from candidate to hiring manager. It's so wildly different. And so your ability to kind of fake it till you make it as a manager is higher because still a big part of your job as a manager is results, which individual contributors also share. But with hiring, it's completely different. And your context for it, your understanding for it, all of it is you going through the process on the other end, and it just doesn't prepare you at all, especially because think of your exposure to HR when you're a candidate. It's so small, right? As a candidate, you have no understanding of what HR is doing. It's like the iceberg analogy, like, right, there's the tip of the iceberg. Like there's the iceberg you can see and there's everything underneath. And when you're a manager, you realize, oh my gosh, HR is here and there's so much more they're doing. But you got to be cautious about what you think their purpose is and why you're using them and how. So we're going to cover that HR is highly useful, but not in charge of your hiring. We're going to talk about what is your bench so that this concept makes sense to you. We're talking about how to build your bench and then building both internal and external benches.
Exactly. Starting with HR is highly useful, but not in charge of your hiring. So folks, we've talked about this before. We just recently put out a podcast, I don't remember the name of it, about HR. And yes, you should absolutely have a good relationship with HR. You should do everything that you can to make sure that you're building a good relationship with whomever it is. Maybe it's your HR business partner, because they're a hugely important part of your support system as a manager. And in this context, important part of your hiring process. Good HR representatives are priceless. If you had one, you miss them probably if you no longer work with them. And if you don't have one, you can't even imagine what the world looks like, I assure you. It is quite grand when you have someone from HR who's got your back. This person is going to be involved in sourcing candidates and ensuring that you follow the necessary corporate procedures when hiring. So having a good relationship with them is absolutely in your best interest.
Mm-hmm. And HR approves stuff, right?
Yeah.
They approve your hiring request. So if they reach out to you and tell you, hey, we're going to get the process started by sourcing or looking for candidates, it certainly makes it feel like they're running the show, at least initially. And going back to the idea of them helping you, one of the important things about having a positive relationship is that you can get stuff done a lot faster. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking about hiring fast, there's a lot of places where we would suggest you shouldn't go quickly. The stuff around HR, though, we would suggest can be compressed for sure in many cases. So just as a heads up there. But certainly when HR says, hey, we're in charge of approval and we're going to get the process started and we're going to source candidates, you might think, oh, okay, cool. They're in charge. And a lot of managers are happy to have the help because we're really busy. And of course, this isn't something we're used to doing. We don't know how to do it. I don't know how you feel, Sarah. My experience with something that I don't do often is hard to even just get started.
Absolutely.
Like I sit at my desk to go do that thing and I'm like, And it's so much easier to fill that time with something else. Like it's so much easier to do something you already know how to do. Just the difference of just getting started is hard.
Yeah, so, it's the eat the frog rule.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with the eat the frog rule. We talked about that in a recent podcast as it pertains to doing the big things before you do your email.
Right. I find though that too, like my brain actually struggles to engage with stuff that I do less often, right? It's almost like it's writer's block, right? When there's a blank page in front of
Absolutely.
You, it's the blank page. It's like, oh my gosh, this is harder for me. So yeah, we understand that you want support and you want HR involved, but it's kind of ironic. You probably started your request weeks ago based on pretty immediate need. You're already behind in filling the need, if that's the case. But then HR says, hey, you're approved to hire and we'll send you some candidates. Suddenly, even though you felt there was pressure and you felt like you were behind, you go into like waiting mode.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're slowing the process yourself, right? It's been a month. It's been months ago, maybe. And now you're in passive mode. You're not taking action. You're just waiting for HR. You're waiting for candidates. Here's the thing. You could be already identifying candidates. You don't have to wait for HR. There's nothing that says that the only candidates come from HR at all. And there's nothing that says that you can't be working in parallel to HR.
Exactly.
Identifying candidates.
Exactly. Again, to our point earlier, if you're not familiar with this process, if this is new to you, if you're inexperienced, it would be perfectly logical, why wouldn't it, for you to draw the conclusion that HR somehow runs the process. I mean, they seem to be the ones that are involved in the early stages with approvals and beginning the work, if you will. And folks, the idea that HR runs your hiring process simply is not true. You, the manager, are always in charge of the hiring you do. Yes, absolutely, of course. Corporate HR has responsibility for the overall process. Yes, of course. HR plays a huge role in including sourcing that is right alongside with what you're doing. But when it comes to your actual hiring, the bringing of a new person into your team, you must own it. And starting out by waiting and sitting passively and turning over sourcing of new candidates to HR is not owning your hiring process. It's relinquishing all the control you have in something that is incredibly important to you. So if you're wondering why is this incredibly important to me, I mean, I feel like we've talked about many of these things before, but whomever you hire is going to come work for you. You, they're not going to work for HR, they work for you. Manager, you're the one who knows your team best. You're the one that knows the job best. You're the one that understands the skills required, the new skills that'll be required in a year, because all of our organizations, all of our teams, what we do is changing all the time. And again, you're the one who's going to suffer if the process takes too long and you don't have anybody to support the other people on your team who are already working too much. You're the ones who suffers if the person that you bring into the organization is not a high quality hire. And ultimately, You're the one that's going to have to manage this person. No one else will do that for you. So relinquishing your control over a process that is so important to you that you know so much better than anyone else is just, it's ludicrous.
It really is. Think about how many hours you're going to have to spend in meetings with this person in a week. I mean, you're going to hire someone and then, or you're going to like let somebody else be in charge of how you spend 6 hours of your day. Even just things like small things, like, is this person going to be on time to meetings? Or are you going to have to suffer every single Wednesday when they're late to the staff meeting?
Yeah.
Like this person shows up to an interview late and you think you're going to hire them? Let me tell you something. You're going to have to live with that person being late to every single staff meeting for the next 5 years. Because you're not going to give negative feedback either. If you're willing to abdicate your responsibility to this process, you're likely abdicating your responsibility elsewhere, which to me says you're not giving negative feedback to somebody about being late. So we don't think that you should be ignoring this process or not engaging with it as fully as possible. HR does play an important role. You're ultimately responsible. And being responsible is not best handled by waiting or being passive or sitting back and letting somebody else bring you information or not being really heavily involved in the process. So we're here to tell you, you're responsible for your own hiring. And that should be good news to you because what it means is somebody else isn't in control of how you're going to spend all your days with these people. And especially if you're in the office, right? I mean, if you're remote, it's a little bit of a buffer, but man, you're responsible for your own hiring. Now you know. Hiring includes sourcing. So hey, you need your own source mechanism. You heard it from here from us first. You need your own source mechanism, and that's what we call your bench. Want to communicate more effectively at work and at home? The Manager Tools Disc Assessment gives you the secrets to doing just that. In 20 minutes, you'll answer 32 questions and receive a personalized report. And 5 minutes later, you'll be ready to start putting what you learned into practice. Learn more at manager-tools.com/MTDisc.
Folks, your bench is a group of people not presently working for you, but whom you would definitely consider hiring. And they can be anyone. They can be a friend from school. They can be a person you used to work with. They can be someone who is a peer on another team in your company. They could be, I mean, a work colleague from years ago that you have stayed in touch with, a person you met at a conference. They can even be a family member. It can be somebody who's a level below you or below the positions that you hire for, meaning that if you did hire them, it would mean a promotion for them. It could mean someone in a gaming group, friends that you play with, anybody that you know can be on your bench. It could be someone that you know now, whom you might not even think of as being on your current bench. But maybe one day, if things changed, they might be on your bench. Typically, though, the definition of your current bench are the people who might be right for the roles you have responsibility for now. So think of it this way, like the other people, the people who definitely couldn't do something that you need right now, you probably think of them more of acquaintances or friends because they're not necessarily a person you would currently consider for something that you actually need in your life now. But a person from your personal bench, we'll call it, could easily transition to the workbench if you found yourself in need of that skill set.
When I think about my bench, I think about it in kind of two ways. As first, a group of people about whom I have a lot of information about their skills and abilities and traits and characteristics. The longer you've known someone, the more you know. The more you've seen them in other jobs or, you know, your experiences you have with them gives you more data about this person. And having more data will give you more confidence in a person you hire being successful in the role. So that's the first thing I think of. The second thing I think of is really the traits and characteristics piece of this. Sometimes we talk about how, like, you can teach people skills. Traits, though, characteristics like honesty, timeliness, these things, harder to teach, probably already pretty hardwired into a person. For me, having somebody on my bench often means to me that they have the traits and characteristics of a person that I think is worthy of being part of the mission that I believe in. it doesn't necessarily mean that they have all the skills. So to your point, I could still be thinking of them as like a friend or acquaintance. They're not exactly sitting on the bench yet. They're like behind it. They're standing right behind it. Of course, I'm picturing like the sidelines at my high school football game, but these people maybe aren't quite ready. It's not the right skill set match. And there's a group of people, not only that I know their skill set, but I also know these people have the traits and characteristics of the person I would want working with and for me. So there's kind of that. So if you're wondering like who should be in the bench, it's not only about people you know who are in your industry. It's about the traits and characteristics of people that you would want to be involved with. And those are people that someday might be part of your bench. Also because I think your career changes, right? You don't always have like a really linear path. And so what you're doing right now might not be what you're doing in 5 or 10 years. So I don't know. That's just my thoughts on it. I always think about my bench partially because I know a lot of people who are really good and I want them to be successful. This really goes back to the idea of building and maintaining relationships. Probably our most important career tools cast lays out our two career responsibilities, right? Results and retention. Some of us are good at relationships.
Results and relationships. Oh, sorry, you said results and retention. It was results and relationships.
I did because I'm so thinking about managers. Okay, so for managers, it's results and retention. For professionals, it's results and relationships. And some of us are good at relationships. Some of us struggle. Some of us aren't that great at it. But whether you're good at relationships or not, your role as a manager means you should be maintaining relationships, even if you're not naturally good at it. Which, by the way, email's the best way to do that, probably, if you're not naturally good at it, because you can still make emails. Because those people may be worthy of hiring at some point in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks, we're not trying to freak you out when we say it can be people can move easily from friendship to bench and back to friendship. When we coach managers on building their bench, we've definitely had people express concerns with bench thinking, like I use different criterias. Different filters and criteria for my friends than I do professional relationships. Totally makes complete sense, and that's completely fine. There are probably many people in everyone's total number of relationships we have that we're never going to hire some of those people. You can think of your bench as a subset of your total relationships. But what we're trying to get across here is don't be too rigid on the are they on my bench? Are they not on my bench? Because people can transition. People can move. So for example, maybe you know a lawyer and you're friends with this lawyer. And based upon what you do right now, you have got absolutely no need in your work life whatsoever for a lawyer. Like you cannot imagine ever hiring a lawyer. But then 2 years later, you end up being the president of a small startup and you have a contract review, which means that you've got a need for a lawyer. And if this is a good person, like, I mean, if they are someone, to Kate's point earlier, they possess those traits and characteristics that are ones that are in line with yours, why wouldn't you think of your trusted friend
right
as a people on the list of those you might consider asking to be your firm's lawyer?
Yeah, because you know more about that person than you do a stranger lawyer.
Yeah, like exactly. A stranger lawyer. Exactly.
Stranger lawyer. Another thing people do, right, is they ask a friend, like, hey, do you know a lawyer? But actually, somebody asked me that recently. And all the lawyers I know, it turns out, are not the right kind. So it's just about the longer you've known somebody, being able to say, oh, I have more data. I have more information about this person. And that might result, in a lot of cases, in you having more trust. It doesn't always. I have a friend. He's lovely. He's super lovely. And I once heard someone refer to him as the golden retriever of humans. He's super lovely to be around. In no universe would I hire this person. I couldn't, right? Just like not on the bench. So some friends, they're friends. They're not on the bench. That's okay. But your lawyer might be, you know, this person's not a lawyer for sure. I'm never going to need help in the area of this person's expertise. But okay. So going back. Not having many people among your relationships that you might consider to be on your bench is not the big problem. The big problem is not even knowing that you need one. All managers need a bench. If you don't know that, now you do. You're welcome. You need a bench. So we recommend you start with a subset of people you know and keep building your bench throughout your career. keep in touch, right? Keep those relationships.
Keep in touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, folks. And the way to think about your bench is really twofold, if you will. Whom do you know that you might consider hiring or recommend to somebody else to hire, for example? And then the other group is whom do you need to start adding to it to make sure it's useful when you are hiring for that skill or trait? Exactly. And you don't need fancy software to do it. I don't want you guys to think about, oh my gosh, what kind of amazing spreadsheet should I have? Is there some sort of system that I can put all this data into and sort it perfectly and evenly? Even people with thousands of relationships and many, 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 many friends have told us it's not very hard to keep track of which people on that list are just family or friends or acquaintances and who are actually potentially or on their current bench. You'll be able to keep them in your head. You'll be able to tell, oh, this is my mom. This is not. It's pretty easy. You don't need some sort of formal tracking to divide these people up and move them between categories.
Yeah. I mean, my bench is totally mental. It's completely like in my head. When I think about, there's certain people on my bench, when I think about those people, I think of them as in terms of the relationship we have. And then also, oh, also bench kind of. I don't know. Again, that's why I go back to that traits and characteristics things, right? Because some people, you know, have the traits and characteristics you'd hire for and some people don't. That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week as we continue the topic. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to follow, rate, and review our podcast. It helps more people find us and keeps the conversation going. Have a great day.